You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to MLB on TuneIn Live,
the podcast.
Play ball!
Presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB on TuneIn Live. MLB on TuneIn Live airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time on TuneIn. This is MLB on TuneIn,
the podcast,
presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and LaTroy Hawkins.
Welcome into MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by Esurance. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by LaTroy Hawkins. In a little bit, we'll catch up with Rockies reliever Mike Dunn, but we're going to start the podcast off with the MLB on TuneIn Live triple play, presented by Esurance. We'll discuss the Starling Marte suspension during the triple play. But the first topic we cover is the final out in the Nationals-Braves game and how badly C.B. Buckner butchered that call.
The MLB on TuneIn. Triple play. Presented by Esurance.
Talk about what happened here. Washington and Atlanta. And C.B. Buckner, the home plate umpire, was having a bad game the whole night. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Quite a few times. It left people shaking their heads. But what happened at the end of the game was the real topper here. And by the way, this C.B. Buckner has punched guys out with two strikes before. So when the second strike crossed home plate, he struggled tonight. And in the final at bat of the game, Chase Darnot was at the plate. Sean Kelly came on. Bases loaded, 3-1 the score. And it looked like Kelly threw strike three. The ball ends up being swung on and missed. Ball ended up in the dirt, but catcher stepped on home plate. Matt Weider stepped on home plate, and boom, the game was over. Well, come to find out about a minute later, after the handshakes, everybody's back there on the field. They had to get the little ATV off the field because the grounds crew wanted to start cleaning up. Kelly had to go back onto the field, throw strike three again. Jason Worth got in C.B. Buckner's face. You got Matt Weider's just shaking his head. What is going on here with the umpiring in this game? Because I go back to, it's a very tough job. There's no doubt about it. And some guys aren't as good as others. But speaking about this particular instance, what in the hell happened? How does this happen in a Major League Baseball game, LaTroy?
Well, it was a strike three slider down close to the dirt. Travis Darnot swings. I don't know if the ball hit the dirt and it made that sound. It kind of sounded like, you know, the tipping of the bat on the ball. And C.B. Buckner thought that the guy fouled the ball off. I mean, it's a mistake that, you know, it happens. It happens. It's just, at this particular time in the game, it happened on strike three when two outs in the ninth inning, the game on the line, and the game should have been over. But you know what? I just thought Kelly and the catcher, they handled it perfect. He went out there and threw him the same slider in the dirt. He caught it cleanly this time. He turned around. He showed C.B. Buckner, and the game was over. What issue ensued after, you know, Worth going after C.B. Buckner, I mean, that's just probably from years of C.B. being a bad umpire and you know, just Worth had had enough of it. But you know what? Him going after him after the game, you know, I would like to see him go after him while he's up at the bat so C.B. Buckner can have a chance to do something about it. He couldn't do anything after the game. If you're going to talk to him like that, talk to him, you know, while you're hitting and see if you get to stay in the game. Probably would happen.
Well, let me ask you this, because I watched the video and Worth was being Mr. Tough Guy. You know, a couple guys got in between him and C.B. Buckner, and C.B. was walking off. But is Jason Worth going to pay for this on a back end?
Oh,
going after an umpire?
He should, because that's just not good, just poor sportsmanship, I think. You know, my mom told me something a long time ago when I first started playing baseball. Look, the umpires don't have a home crowd. They don't have home field advantage, so they're hated on both sides. And, you know, the guy's going out there, he's doing his best. You know, sometimes his best just isn't good enough. But at the same time, you still have to respect those guys just a little on the field. Because if you don't, you know, all heck can break loose in a situation like that. And I think C.B. handled it well. One of the other crew members came and just, you know, escorted him off. And that was it. He didn't seem like he was upset at Worth. And, and nothing like that. So in his report, he can say he didn't retaliate, and he can just write worked up and work and write his check to the baseball assistance team. Bats.
Well, again, there's two different sides to look at this. First of all, that was a horrible, horrible call by C.B. Buckner, and he was having problems the whole night. And I got on Bryce Harper a little bit during the game because he had, you know, dropped his bat, started taking his gloves off, running down to first base. And to me, C.B. Buckner purposefully, at least just looking at it, you know, called a strike because Bryce Harper decided to take off on a pitch that looked like it was a ball, but Buckner decided to do that. He was doing things that the strike zone was extraordinarily inconsistent when I was watching this game. And then that just can't happen, though. I know that mistakes happen in a game, but you can't say a ball was foul tipped on a third strike and then have everybody walking off and then say, no, hold on a second. Come back, guys, because I can't review. That just can't happen, LaTroy. It's unacceptable.
He was probably telling those guys, and they wasn't listening. He was probably saying, whoa, whoa, hold up, hold up, hold up.
Because everybody else saw that the game was over.
Well, they probably didn't hear him. I mean, they didn't hear the guy that he was saying, I'm sure, out of the gate, foul tip, and they just completely ignored it. Now, I did see the catcher.
Weeters.
Weeters.
Shaking
I saw him catch the ball, and I saw him step on home plate. But mm-hmm. I never saw C.B. Buckner signal out because he dropped the ball. And I never saw him signal out on that play, particular play. So – in C.B. Okay. Buckner's mind, the game wasn't over yet. In everybody else's mind, the game was over.
Fascinating.
Something to look into, yeah.
Fascinating finish. You know, you look at it from one end with C.B. Buckner, and you've gone out and say it. The guy.
Yeah, it's not good.
The players have voted him the worst umpire just about every year, right?
Yes. Yes, he's at the bottom. But you know what? Little things like this, I think it makes baseball just a little bit more interesting, man.
It does, unless you're the team that's involved in it. They got screwed over. You know, if Sean Kelly doesn't come back and make the pitch, boom. Right. Now we're really going nuts.
But he did, so nobody got screwed over. He had to throw one more filthy slider, and Weeters had to block the one more filthy slider.
Yeah. Hey. All right. And then you're right. There's probably some history between Worth and C.B. Buckner.
Oh, for sure.
There's no room for that. Listen, Worth has got his own – Jason Worth's got his attitude, right? We know that. He's got his attitude. And then you got Buckner doing what he does. But that cannot be tolerated. I'm sorry. You're a player. Be a professional. You don't go out there and yell at C.B. Buckner out on the field. You want to have words, you go have words with him off the field. Maybe after the game, try and explain something to him. But, you know, what is Jason Worth doing? They just won the ball game. You know, was it a complete foul up as an umpire? Yes. But you just won the ball game. What are you doing going after him after the game? I don't get that. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
He's not perfect. I mean, it's part of he's not perfect. It is what it is. He's not perfect at all. So, I mean, just you get – there's nothing to be gained out of that. Nothing at all.
For Worth to go after him.
Right. Nothing to be gained out of that.
Let's start with the big, big news, and that's where we get going on tonight's show. All right, so it's Starling Marte, Pittsburgh Pirates. They move him to center field. The guy's got so much speed. He hits for average. He does a lot of things. Suspended 80 games, PED failure. Goes and using old school steroids. You know, a lot of the PEDs these days, it's not old school steroids. He just went straight up old school nandrolone, things that Jose Canseco was using 30 years ago. And he has really hurt his team in so many different ways. 80-game suspension. If the Pirates were to make the playoffs, no Starling Marte. He obviously is very sorry, but you know, ultimately the damage has been done to this ball club, LaTroy.
At this point, how can you be sorry? I mean, it's not like the steroid issue had just came up last offseason. It's been going on for a while now, and I don't think there's any excuse for a guy to put something in his body that's had been tested, is not cleared by Major League Baseball or NSF certified. So, you know, at this point, this late in the game, man, I don't think there's any excuse for a guy to test positive unless he's trying to cheat, plain and simple.
So have you ever played with anyone that got tagged for this?
Yes, I was with Ryan Braun in 2011 during the playoffs when he got popped for steroids.
So let me ask you this. What was the reaction inside the clubhouse? Because I can imagine there's some Pittsburgh Pirates players that are not happy with Starlin Marte. And as a matter of fact, could be irate because their playoff chances that were tough to begin with have now really got an uphill climb. What was the clubhouse reaction? What did you think when Braun got popped?
Well, it happened in the playoffs. So we were knocked out by the Cardinals in the National League Championship Series. So it wasn't like we had the rest of the season and we knew he was going to pop. He was going to test positive. It ended up coming out after the World Series. So, you know, the first thing I thought about was like, wow, you know, you start playing different things over in your mind, how he was hurt during the All-Star break and his calf's full has been hurting. And then all of a sudden he had this huge resurgence, never went on a DL. And, you know, just all kind of crazy things come in your mind. But you know what, and Braun being a good friend of mine, he was, you know, I look at him as a brother. We all make mistakes. And like you said, I know you don't like Braun because of some of the things he came out after the steroid thing, but you know, we all make mistakes. We in that clubhouse, you with those guys a lot more than you with your family, and you become brothers, and you have to forgive your brothers for some of the mistakes that they make.
Well, this is absolutely fascinating because there was a column in Pittsburgh in the Post-Gazette saying, you know, Starlin Marte ruined any chance of Andrew McCutchen, you know, making a deep run of the playoffs, which I think is garbage. I mean, you see teams all the time. If you're going to make a run of the playoffs, you're going to overcome some hurdles. This is just another hurdle. I thought that at best, the Pirates being a wild card team because they're in a division with the Cubs. I mean, let's face it. This does not decimate any chance of Andrew McCutchen making a big run. The bottom line, though, is he gets to go back into center field. He gets to continue to go at the plate and build some numbers up because he's been hitting the ball a lot better. He just got on base 8 straight games. So Andrew McCutchen's playing well, I think, for McCutchen at this point. Continue to do what you're doing, and the trade will come to a contender.
Well, I mean, he's happy, I'm sure, to be back in center field, and not because of the way he was able to get back there, but you know what? With that thumb injury last year, you know, I'm 100% positive that is the reason why he struggled at the plate. He didn't want to go on a DL, and it looks like he's healthy. So, you know, he's making better contact. He's, like you said, got on base 8 straight times, and he's starting to look like the old McCutchen that we're used to seeing out there.
Yep, 8 straight games for that, and he is back in center field, batting third, just like the old days, batting third and playing center field. Let's talk about Mike Trout here for a second, because we talked about Bryce Harper, LaTroy. Harper tonight having a rough night, out on the base pass. He got picked off at second base inexplicably, and he ruined a rally. He ends up dropping his bat and starting to take his batting gloves off and running to first when the umpire calls a strike. He's just not there tonight. You see that from time to time. You're critical of Bryce Harper. And then you look on the other side with Mike Trout. And now I admittedly watch a lot more of Bryce Harper than Mike Trout. Although, you know, this season I think it's a little bit different. Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, there's some pretty stark differences there. And I think that Harper still has the talent to be the best player in the game, but it's not even a conversation that he's going to be nearly as good as him. At this point, Trout is just the far superior player on 1.5 million different levels.
Well, he's definitely a smarter player. Far as talent-wise, they're very close, but Trout doesn't make the mistakes and have the mental lapses that you see Bryce Harper continue to have, you know, throughout the course of a season. We saw it last year. I was critical of him. This year, once again, I was very critical of his decision-making on the base pads and things like that. But you know what? You just have to focus, man. You have to focus. Now, do you focus over the course of a 162-game season? After the All-Star break, do I can accept you making a couple, you know, questionable, you know, decisions, but not the first 2 weeks of the season. You can't have that. And that's what you don't see when we talk about the Mike Trout in this world. He doesn't take mental breaks. He's on all the time. And I'm sure just playing with him his rookie year, he doesn't know he does that. It's just come natural to him. You know, he comes from a baseball family. His dad was a pretty damn good baseball player. So he comes from a baseball family. He's locked in. He was the guy who didn't go high in the first round because, you know, they didn't know how good he really was because he's from New Jersey. So he plays with a semi-chip on his shoulder, where with Bryce, he's always had the hype since he was, what, 16, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, we can go on and on, but we can't compare the two because Bryce is not on Mike Trout's level as of right now. I'm not saying the kid isn't talented. He's God's blessed him with plenty of talent, but I'm going to have to see a little bit more from him focusing on the mental part of the game.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you're right there, 100%. That's the big issue with Harper, still the mental side of the game. And you go back, and you talked about it last year, too, with Joe Maddon. Maybe getting into Bryce's head. Bryce had some injury issues, LaTroy, but still the season took a sharp 90-degree angle turn when he went up to Chicago and Joe Maddon walked him.
Yes, that's true. He wasn't able to understand that Joe Maddon was going to make somebody else beat him. But with Bryce's thought process, okay, I'm going to try harder instead of just relax and hit strikes and swing his strikes and, you know, hit the ball to the opposite field. From that point on, he went did a 360-degree turn in the wrong direction because he started to pull everything. He got very impatient at the plate. You didn't have to throw him a strike to get him out. I mean, he's a great player, but he made himself into a mediocre player by getting in his own head. So with that being said, it's right now I think Trout is just a lot more mentally stronger than this kid is.
You're listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. And we'll be right back with more after this. TuneIn is your home for all NFL action, now featuring No Huddle.
Cordell Stewart, he's just that versatile.
And Brian Weber.
I'm a middle-aged white guy. It's a team effort here.
You're a great guy.
Yeah,
excellent young man. I appreciate it.
I wouldn't go.
I gave you young man
save
for that
the
one.
Tape. Excellent young man,
this
Brian Weber.
This is the
Weber.
Last time I'll say it, though.
Cordell Stewart and Brian Weber will break down all things NFL.
I'm not doing truth. I'm telling you what the outcome's going to be.
That's the problem I'm having with you right now.
Truth is the name of your book.
Because you know what's wrong and you know what's right, you would prefer to go with what's wrong because the pundits are the ones that determine what happens.
I'm telling you what's going to happen.
No, I'm asking you.
The name of the show is not shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Let's try this one
That's
more
our podcast.
Let me rephrase
right?
this
We're
one more
do
time.
That on
Let me
Sunday.
Rephrase.
Listen live Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern or catch all the replays and interviews on demand on the NFL on TuneIn.
It's like us being on our app and being able to come into your cell phones. And it's different now.
And now, more of MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and LaTroy Hawkins.
Before the Rockies face the Dodgers on Tuesday night, reliever Mike Dunn joined us to talk about the start that bullpen is off to. Rockies visiting the Dodgers tonight, and one of the Rockies' big arms in the bullpen is Mike Dunn. He joins us right now on the show. Mike Holden Kushner, you know LaTroy, I would think. I don't know. LaTroy, are you familiar with Mike Dunn? You told me you were today.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Mr. Dunn. Who is it? If you're a baseball
How
fan.
How you guys doing?
I'm doing great,
terrific.
Brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. Loving it right now.
Enjoy
well,
your
let's
time
start
out
here.
In Colorado.
Yeah, you're out in Los Angeles now with the Rockies. Terrific start for the team. The bullpen. So LaTroy and I are going back on text today. He goes, man, that bullpen is just tearing it up. You guys are tearing it up. You know, just talk about the job that you've done to this point, Holland and the rest of the bullpen, and why you've been so successful so far.
Oh, you know, it's just, you know, eight guys down there pulling on the same chain. Like Troy knows, it's, you know, you're kind of a family of your own out there, and everyone's really pushing each other to be better each time you go out. And It's been a fun group of guys to be around, and everyone's, you know, stepped up and contributed in their own ways, and it's been great.
Hey, Dunn, when Redman called you this offseason to try to get you to come pitch in Colorado, did he ask you – I read this article said, are you scared to pitch here? Did he actually say that to you?
Yeah, I mean, he basically was, you know, whenever I told him, you know, I'm excited, I want to go there, and he basically said, yeah, you're not scared to pitch there, are you? And I said, no, I'm not. It's pitching. I mean, you were down there, and you had a pretty good career here with the Rockies uniform on, and then, you know, it's just executing your pitches. You make a bad pitch anywhere, it's going to be a home run. You know, it's just executing your pitches.
That's what I tell guys, and when I signed over there, they told me, You pitch the way you've been taught to pitch your whole life. If you pitch down in a zone, you're going to be successful. If you pitch up in a zone, I don't care where you pitch, you're going to get hurt. So that was always my message. And I always try to get the guys to not think about the altitude. Don't think about that, because if you start thinking about that, you're already defeated. But
yeah,
you know, it's just,
I agree.
It's nuts. It's crazy when they start thinking about that. Okay, what do you think about Steve Foster, your first few months with him? I think he's one of the smartest, most brilliant individuals on the planet.
You know, it's been great. I've really enjoyed the time with him. He kind of just let me be me in spring training, and we had a little conversation here and there. And, you know, he's always trying to dig deep, and, you know, he's always got a good message for you. And, you know, it's been great. You know, the 2 months I've been with him, it's been awesome. The communication level has been extremely high. And, you know, and that's what, you know, you strive for, is to have a good communication between all your coaches and your staff. And it's been awesome. He's been a great piece for this group of guys.
Rockies reliever Mike Dunn with us. Lefty, you know the struggles the Dodgers have had against lefty pitching. Is that in your consciousness going into a game, knowing that, you know, they have had problems now for well over a season?
You know, you try not to think about it. I mean, you're preparing no matter if they're hot or they're not. And you got to ultimately make your pitches no matter if they're swinging the bat well against lefties or righties. You just have to go out there and prepare and have a game plan and stick to it. And, you know, you might have to make some adjustments while you're out there and just kind of fill out the game how it's going. But you don't really look too much into the struggles that they've had, because, you know, they're big leaguers. They're meant to be here. They're going to get hits. And you just have to try to minimize that and stick to your strengths and just go at these guys.
Oh, I'll just say this. The one day that we were out in Arizona checking out the teams, you guys had a mariachi band inside of the clubhouse. I thought it was the most right. I thought it was the most amazing thing. It told me a lot about the atmosphere of this ball club. Can you kind of try and verbalize just what kind of a clubhouse you guys have out there in Colorado?
I mean, best way to say it is we're having fun. It was something new every day in spring training with Bud Black bringing it. You know, he really, really wanted everyone to get to know each other. And we did a lot of different things, from ping pong tournaments to little presentations. And, I mean, it was something new every day to put smiles on faces and just really enjoy your time. You know, it's our job to be baseball players, but at the same time, you got to remember it's a game, and you got to go out there and have fun and be loose. And, you know, Bud Black's been great. He brings it every day, and it's been a lot of fun.
You've pitched against the Rockies' offense, you know, throughout your career, Dunn. How is it playing with these guys, seeing that they are, you know, they're the real deal, offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I mean, you always came into Colorado and you're just like holding your breath, because you knew 1 through 9 they could hurt you, and you really had to make sure you executed your pitches. And now that I'm on the team with them, it's a big sigh of relief that I don't have to face these guys anymore. And then just that defensively, I mean, there's a wow factor every game. You know, no one's making diving play after diving play. DJ over at second's doing the same thing. You know, turning crazy double plays. It's just been fun watching these guys play and the amount of fun that they have. And it just carries over, and everyone's having a great time, and it's a good atmosphere right now.
Get a chance to see it up close and personal, and it's special. It was special. The 2 years I watched it, and I'm still blown away when I watch the games, how good Nolan is and how good, you know, it's your shortstop and oh, God, what's the kid's name? He lives here in Texas.
Trevor Story.
How good Trevor is, and the second baseman. And you just get to have a really good lineup, and Cargo out there, you know, diving for balls like he did the other night. It's great baseball to watch.
You got Parr over and left doing the same thing, laying out and making great plays. And, you know, they make a great play, and you're just kind of wowed, and everyone, you know, that's been around just kind of like, hey, get used to it. It's like a daily thing.
What do you have on my guy Darren Holmes? I mean, he came my last year there, and, man, I was so excited to see this man, because he still has that bullpen guy mentality. He was able to help me in the bullpen with the young guys. I mean, it was a gift from God when Holmesy became our bullpen coach.
Yeah, Holmesy's great. I mean, as you know, being a reliever, you're down in the pen, you're kind of closer to your bullpen coach than you are sometimes your pitching coach and some of the other guys, because you're down there with them every day. And, you know, he brings a good positive attitude every day, and he's he's got information galore for guys if they want it, and he's prepared, and you know, he's an awesome human being. I haven't come across anybody here in the Rockies organization that, you know, I don't want to be around. And everybody from top to bottom, every player, every person in the front office, it's been great.
And Holmesy will bite your face off too.
He's going to bite his face off?
He'll bite your face off if you get him pissed off. He's just that.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
of
some of the snaps. So we haven't quite had too many of them yet, but it's
been great.
You guys
keep pitching the way you're going.
That's the excitement. That's the desire that he holds inside, and that's what you want to be around.
Yes, he's fiery.
Hey, Mike, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Take care of yourself, and we'll see if you get strikeout number 400 tonight. Take care.
All right, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. And we'll be right back with more after this. Immerse yourself in the world of the Young Turks, the podcast that progressively combines all of the news, politics, and pop culture trends that people care about all in one place. Hosted by Cenk Uygur and Anna Kasparian, dive in headfirst each day with shows that cover the latest in American politics and foreign policy, breaking news, sports, entertainment, and much more. Join the movement with the Young Turks. New shows play daily on TuneIn. Tune in. Listen like you mean it. This is MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and LaTroy Hawkins.
There were 15 games on Tuesday, and to recap those games in our own special way, LaTroy and I now bring you the best day ever, Home Run Tracker, and statistically speaking.
Best day ever on MLB on TuneIn Live.
Who's your pitcher? Who had the best day ever?
Well, pitcher best day ever, Chicago White Sox, Miguel Gonzalez. 8 3 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 earned run, 1 base on ball, 4 Ks. Could have had a shut, 8 1/3 a shutout. Closer comes in, walks in, an inherited run. But he's my best day ever, Miguel Gonzalez.
I'm going to take it. Abe Gordon gave me the idea for this one. First time I've never come up with my own best day ever. Sean Kelly of the Nationals getting 2 saves tonight. Nice line there, Abe. You got on the show, my friend, without speaking. How about that? Sean Kelly has to get the save. Then C.B. Buckner blows the call, says that it was not strike 3, that it was foul tipped, even though it wasn't. So he comes back, throws another slider, gets the save. So Sean Kelly, best day ever, 2 saves, 2 pitches in one night. One official save, by the way. Best day ever at the plate. Who is it?
Best day ever at the plate will be Mookie Betts. 146 at-bats without a strikeout, like somewhere up in there, right? Went 3-for-5 with 2 RBIs and 1 bomb.
All right. I'm going back. Nice sound effects there, LaTroy. I'm going to go back and say Eric Thames. Until his hit streak comes to an end, he is the best day ever, no matter what he does, as long as even if it's a 1-for-8 with a single, he's there. He's got a hit in all 12 games. He had 2 more doubles tonight. He's got 7 home runs. His streak of 5 straight games with a home run came to an end. Still, Eric Thames, Milwaukee Brewers, best day ever. You will be the best day ever as long as you keep getting hits. That's it. It's as simple as that. He's just
bingo,
been amazing.
Bingo.
Bingo, bango. Let's talk bango. About all the home runs from tonight.
MLB on TuneIn Live, Home Run Tracker.
All right. Now, normally, 441 feet is going to be the longest home run of the night. Not tonight. There were some moonshots tonight. And it started with the longest home run and the hardest hit ball that went for a home run. Miguel Cabrera tonight hit a home run 451 feet. Abe, go to StatCast and see who hit the longest home run of the year. I don't think Cabrera is going to make it, but he's definitely got to be in the top 5. 451 feet, 110 off the bat. George Springer's home run also went 110 off the bat, went 441. Evesel Garcia's went 110 off the bat, went 429. These balls were ripped tonight. Odubel Herrera hit one 402. Lurie Garcia hit one 402. Adam Duvall's grand slam went 356. Tim Beckham went 399. Justin Smoke of the Blue Jays, 384. Joey Votto, 343. Avisail Garcia's 110-mile-an-hour home run went 429. Andrelton Simmons broke a 21-inning scoreless streak for the Angels with a 361-foot, 97-mile-an-hour exit velo home run. Kyle Schwarber hit 109 off the bat, 431. Yuliesky Gurriel of the Astros, 435. George Springer, 441, 110 off the bat. Jose Ramirez of the Indians, 384. And Russell Martin of the Blue Jays cranked one, 449. Normally, 449 is going to win you the longest home run of the night contest. Not tonight. Miguel Cabrera beat Martin by 2 feet. Adam Jones cranked one, 373. Mookie Betts, 424. His first home run of the year, 424, 105 off the bat, 22 degrees. Travis Shaw, 376 for the Brewers. Pujols, home run number 593, went 405 feet, that is. Whit Merrifield of the Royals hit on 389 feet. Nolan Arenado's two-run blast, 406. Miguel Sano, 107 off the bat, 403 feet. Ezekiel Carrera of the Blue Jays, 351. Justin Bour's two-run shot for the Marlins, 385. Edwin Encarnacion, 384. And Trevor Story just ripped one for the Dodgers, 427 feet, 107 miles an hour off the bat. Let's look closer at the statistics.
Statistically speaking.
LaTroy, Bronson Arroyo won his first game since June 15th, 2014. First win since 2014. He's the first 40-year-old Red starting pitcher to win a game since Boom Boom Beck in 1945. Good old Boom Boom.
Boom Boom. Boom Boom. 32 career wins. Boom Boom.
Hot take. Hot take. Miguel Cabrera hit his 449th career home run. He tied Jeff Bagwell and Vlad Guerrero for 38th all-time. With the Cardinals win, the Blue Jays are the only team without consecutive wins this season. Jacoby Ellsbury has reached base safely in each of his last 20 games with an official plate appearance. Freddie Freeman has reached base 10 consecutive plate appearances, longest for the Braves since Jason Hayward reached 10 times in 2010. Drew Storen threw an immaculate inning tonight. Did you know that? Have you ever thrown an immaculate inning?
Check the stats, baby. Check the stats. September 11,
2004. Wow. Seriously?
Yes. I don't
What
lie,
was the date
okay?
again? What was the date again?
September the 11th, 2004, against the Marlins.
9/11/2004, you threw an immaculate inning, which is 3 strikeouts on 9 pitches.
Say it again.
Only three other Reds had done that in the franchise's history. You had an immaculate inning. Do you have the ball from that?
I didn't know I threw it, brother. I had no clue.
You're so good you didn't even know it. Now, that is the definition of cool.
I had no clue. I'm sorry.
That is the definition of cool. Tonight was the first time the White Sox beat the Yankees despite collecting 3 or fewer hits since they won 4-0 with no hits versus Andy Hawkins back in 1990. Whatever. That's a run-on sentence.
My cousin.
Tribe beat the Twins. First time they've won consecutive games since their season-opening sweep of the Texas Rangers. And there you go. You're now caught up. That's it for MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance. Make sure you join us on MLB on TuneIn Live at 7 Eastern each weeknight. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard on this podcast, but you also have the chance to listen live to the games that are in action and get it as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and LaTroy Hawkins alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. TuneIn, your everything audio app.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.